Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, September 24th. Coming up today, a Rainer man is taking on a car dealership over what he says is a dodgy deal. And there's a campaign to get thousands of fans to Priestfield this weekend to support the Jills. But first, taking a look at our top story today, four people are being questioned by police after another man was stabbed on Sheppey. Police were called to Halfway Road in Halfway just after 11 a.m. yesterday to reports of a disturbance, and witnesses have described seeing a heavy police presence in the area. Reporter Joe Crossley has been there for the Kent Online podcast.
I'm in Halfway Road in Halfway on Sheppey, and I'm watching the police search take place right in front of me. There's around 10 police officers going around Halfway Road and St Catherine's Road, combing the area for any evidence of what has been suspected to be a stabbing. Police have now confirmed with us that they've arrested four people in connection with the incident which happened yesterday. Police have confirmed that they were called at just after 11 o'clock yesterday to a report of a disturbance. Police officers and ambulance crews were called to the scene, and a man was taken to a London hospital with wounds consistent with a stabbing. As I can see in front of me, the inquiries are still ongoing, with police combing bushes, the roads, drains, anything that where they could find any evidence of the incident. The police is urging anyone with any information to come forward, including those who might have footage from the area.
You can stay up to date with the latest details as they unfold by clicking on the story at Kent Online. Another of our top stories today, former Gillingham chairman Paul Scally is being sued in the High Court by the club's new owners over the £7 million takeover. Property magnate Brad Gallanson claims the true nature of the club's financial affairs had not been disclosed in the sale agreement in December 2022. Sean Delaney's been covering this story for the Kent Online podcast. He's here with me now to answer some questions. First of all, Sean, can you give us just a brief overview of the lawsuit?
What we know to date is that Brad Gallanson and Gillingham Football Club are taking action against the former club chairman, Paul Scally. Papers have been lodged in the commercial division of the High Court, and they are suing him for an as yet undisclosed sum of money. Most of it is linked to the takeover of the club in 2022, and that's where Brad Gallanson and his Up the Jills company acquired the majority shareholding of around 70% of the club.
So basically, Brad Gallanson has said the nature of the club's finances wasn't properly represented during the takeover. Can you give us some examples of the main issues?
Yeah, there's quite a few things that have been lodged in the court papers. One of them they mention is that Paul Scally had directed funds from the club to himself, and this was a misuse of club funds, namely to be spent on himself, family members and friends. There's also mention in there of misappropriation of furlough payments. So this is where players and backroom staff essentially were placed on furlough, but it's alleged that actually continued to work for that time, some of them under the guise of volunteering. There's about 20 backroom staff mentioned there, and some playing staff.
What about Bradley Dack? I believe he's mentioned in the papers as well.
Basically, the former vice chairman, Michael Anderson, who's facing separate allegations in the courts in America, he loaned payments to the club for the player, a midfielder, Bradley Dack. He did so on the condition that if he was sold, that money would be repaid. We believe that sum to be around £50,000. He was in fact sold. He went to Blackburn Rovers after a 5-year stint with the Jills. He's now since returned. We believe that payment will be what they'll be seeking further clarification from Mr. Scally and his consultancy firm.
Now, I know there's also been some questions raised about his personal conduct.
It's kind of been a bit alluded to before. So when he was sacked by the board of directors, booted off the board of directors last year, this was briefly alluded to. There's not much more elaboration at the moment, but we do know that there are claims about his personal conduct at the club when he continued on as director after selling his majority stake. And these include claims of harassment, victimisation and discrimination.
Now this has all come to light, is there any suggestion that this is why he was removed removed from the board last October.
Yeah, so I think the suggestion is that Mr. Gallinson and his company obviously have been looking through some of these documents and have found that there's been some indiscrepancies and certain things that were not basically above board or, as they said, when they acquired the club. Obviously, all this would be subject to Mr. Scully's defence, and he said that obviously that was subject to expert evidence that would be needed to give and obviously the proof of those claims.
So what happens to Paul Scully if he's found liable?
We know that he could be subject to quite a hefty bill for damages. In the court that it's been since referred to, that could be in the region of anywhere upwards from £1 million up to under £7 million, which we know is around roughly what was spent on acquiring the share of the club. But obviously some of the other claims in there around fraudulent misrepresentation could potentially carry, I imagine, criminal charges. But at this stage, we don't know for certain.
Thanks, Sean. The next hearing in this case is scheduled for January the 22nd. Find out more by clicking on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Canterbury man who attacked a friend, leaving him with severe injuries, has been sent to prison. Liam Jones repeatedly punched and stabbed his victim after drinking with friends in the city in May. The 28-year-old from Cornwall Gardens has been jailed for 6 years and will spend 2 on licence when he's released. One person's been taken to hospital and several other passengers treated for injuries after a bus allegedly got involved in a car chase in Dartford. A pregnant woman was among those on board the Fast Track B from Temple Hill to Gravesend last Friday evening. She's described people being thrown across the vehicle and erratic driving. Go Ahead, which runs the service, has launched an investigation. A Northfleet man who went to pick up food after smoking cannabis has been banned from driving. Jamie Reynolds was found to be more than 3 times the legal drug drive limit when he was pulled over in Bats Road last December. The 21-year-old from Lansdere Avenue was also uninsured. He didn't have a full licence. He's lost his licence for 12 months and must pay £250. 2 people have been arrested in Folkestone on suspicion of being involved in a nationwide SIM swapping scam. They're alleged to have got hold of replacement SIMs from mobile network providers to take control of phone numbers and access email accounts and banking apps. A 27-year-old woman and 33-year-old man have been questioned and £100,000 in cash recovered.
Kent Online News.
Work has continued overnight to fix a gas leak in Canterbury. Engines and fire crews were called to St Martin's Hill yesterday lunchtime. At the time of recording today's podcast, the road was still shut, but advice to keep doors and windows closed in the area has now lifted. It's been revealed 7 shops in Kent have lost their licence over the past year after being caught selling alcohol to underage children. Footage released by police shows how one shopkeeper in Maidstone sold drink to a teenager away from the till, while another in Faversham claimed his CCTV didn't work to try and get away with it. The force is encouraging all stores to adopt the Challenge 25 policy and ask for ID. A group of friends have been praised for saving the life of a Sittingbourne man who collapsed while playing tennis. Tim suffered a cardiac arrest in Linstead earlier this year and only survived because the people he was with performed CPR while waiting for an ambulance. He's now been reunited with some of the medical staff who helped him and says he feels incredibly lucky.
Kent Online News.
The boss of Eurotunnel says there's no excuse for operators not being ready for new EU border checks coming into force next month. Passengers will need to have their photo and fingerprints taken when travelling to mainland Europe. The entry-exit system was tested at Folkestone yesterday and we're told it'll have a minimal impact on processing times. Bosses in Ashford say it could take a year to demolish the Park Mall shopping centre and its neighbouring car park. The town centre site has been earmarked for housing following a decline in footfall. Planning documents show a temporary car park due to be built in the meantime could be in place for up to 5 years. A Whitstable doctor is urging patients to take part in a fitness challenge. As stats show, more than 1 in 5 adults in the district are obese. Dr. John Ribchester says being overweight increases the risk of things like heart disease, high blood pressure and cholesterol, and type 2 diabetes. He wants more people to join the 30-30 challenge to do 30 minutes of exercise each day in October. Now, a Raider man who says he was sold a car with serious underlying faults has been stuck in a year-long battle with the car dealer. Gary Faber bought the Jaguar from Hippo Motor Group for £22,000 last year. 6 days later, an engine warning light came on. He says the company must have known there was a problem when they sold it, but Hippo say they undertake thorough checks on all vehicles and there was no issue prior to handover. Gary has been talking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
They won't accept any responsibility or say anything in any way, shape or form to offer any form of apology or acknowledgement. All they keep saying is stuff like that. We do thorough checks. And I don't doubt that at all. But as you've seen from evidence and stuff I've got, someone said to me a long time ago, when it first went in for diagnosis under their court sort of recommendation, he said they've, you know, the sense of either been tampered with and patched up, or they've not done their checks properly and not picked up upon it, one of the two. So either way, he said the guy at the time, this is the joke about it, is that garage, the guy then left before they could do the work. I then had to go and find another garage. But he said to me in no uncertain terms, one of them two things has happened. So realistically, either way, they're at fault. They've either not done their checks properly, or they have checked the vehicle but should have picked up upon the fact those sensors weren't adequate anyway. He then went on to say, because of that, that can knock out other systems in the car. It can lead on to mixed messages being sent. And while Hippo keeps saying they did their checks, it was fine at the point of sale, because I bought it online and it was delivered to me, again, I don't dispute that, but they knew, or they must have known because of the document in the glove box, that it has got a poor mechanical history. So regardless of whether they did or didn't do their checks, it's a car that had a poor history that I was never told about. So the agent I spoke to when we spoke on the phone, I wish I'd recorded all these things, because he was like, no, it's a good car. It's, you know, a lovely car in great condition, no mechanical problems, no mechanical history. So it feels like it's word against word, even though I've got some of this evidence. Because it's such a big company, they're just not backing down. And even the finance company said it's like they're playing games. You know, they asked for a report. I got it done. Because the guy said he didn't feel the need to physically inspect it based on all the evidence, he wrote the report. Then they said, no, it needs physically inspecting. So I've done that, and they're still saying it's not good enough. I just can't get anywhere with them. And the finance company at the moment have gone back and said they'll try to see if they can negotiate anything in terms of a rejection and an acceptance. But they was even saying to me, would I be then willing to, you know, contribute to the cost of the timing chain? And I said no, because it shouldn't be on me. You know, this is something that I bought in good faith, and it's you know, it's never been right. So I'm really caught up with it, and we're at a point now where I just think if they can take it back and squash the finance and get rid of it, I just mentally I need it off my back. It's killed me, really, if I'm being straight up and honest with you. And it's put me off of ever wanting to buy a car in that way again, you know.
Hippos say they will accept the vehicle back if Mr. Faber pays for some of the repairs.
Kent Online News.
More than £50,000 is being spent on upgrades to swimming pools in Kent. The donation to Faversham Pools will pay for a new cover for the indoor learner pool and buy updated, more energy efficient tech for the outside facility. The site is run by a charitable trust and costs around £1.3 million a year to operate. A Headcorn woman has celebrated a milestone birthday with a skydive. 80-year-old Maureen Parkin vowed to make the most of each day following the sudden death of her husband in 2018 following a cancer diagnosis. She's previously tackled zip wires around the world, but says the skydive was something else. A new TV drama is set to shed light on the News of the World phone hacking scandal. Several Kent residents were caught up in the scandal, including former Canterbury resident Andy Coulson, who was editor at the time. The series called The Hack starts on ITV tonight. A Kent singer-songwriter has been telling our sister station KMFM how he wrote an original song every day for more than 400 days. Jasper Hodges started busking on the streets of Canterbury when he was just 13. He's now got more than 30,000 followers on socials and performed at the British Summertime Festival in Hyde Park. He's been telling Jack during one of KMFM's sunset sessions about the challenge.
Well, it lasted 401 days.
You're joking.
It was so when I was busking and playing the gigs and that, I was like, how am I going to take this to the next level? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a hard industry.
100%. And then I just observed other people doing it through social media. So I thought I'd give that a go. And then I thought, I'm not going to do it half-heartedly. So I knew one of my goals that I'd set for the year was to reach 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Right.
So I just thought, I like writing songs. I'm going to write a song every day until I get there.
How hard was it?
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
Like, looking back at it now,
it was hard.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I did it, and I'll do it again. It was the days where I was like ill in bed and whatever. They were the days.
Yeah. Did any of them make it further than that? Did you write one? Is there one on the EP now? Is there one kind of in the back catalogue?
Yes. So British Summertime was a song a day.
Was it?
Yeah. Risk It All was a song a day.
I mean, that's two. Isn't there five on the EP? Talk to me about the EP. How would you describe it? Everyone watching right now who, you know, introducing you to them, how do you describe the EP? How do you describe yourself as an artist if you were going to, you know, do a small pitch now?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. Listen to it. No, I think all my music reflects me. I think the way I sing is the way I talk. I think lyrically, if you listen to some of the songs, it could sound like I was just chatting to you.
I mean, a song we have to talk about because we're here right now. Where you're from?
Yeah,
we're in Whitstable Bay, in Kent.
Yep.
Where you grew up?
Yep.
Did you know you wanted to write a song about here?
No.
No. It's just no. So where did that one then come from?
It was. I was sat down with a mate of mine, and we was writing together. And he said to me, he said, what have you been up to recently? And I told him, I've been spending a summer on the beach with my mates. We found a boat. And he said, right, let's just write a song about that. So, obviously it's my home, so.
Was that the one you thought would do what it's done? Because that is the one that has got you this national recognition.
Yeah.
It's been played up and down the UK.
I had an inkling.
Really?
I had a feeling about the song. Just from playing it live and people's recognition of it. Like, people would come up to me after the show and be like, oh, I love that Whitstable Bay song, you know?
Mm.
So I had a feeling that that one was going to do good.
The 18-year-old from Whitstable has just released his first EP. Kent Online Sports. Football Now and Gillingham fans are leading a campaign to try and get 8,000 fans in Priestfield this weekend. It's after the side set a new club record for the number of games without a defeat. They've gone 21 unbeaten after a 3-1 win over Newport County last Saturday. Managing director Joe Comper has been chatting to Nicola.
Yeah, it's like a grassroots campaign. There's no person with a marketing degree who's coming up with it or anything like that. You know, it's just the fans trying to get more people to come and back their team and show their support. So we sort of spoke about it in-house and said, okay, like, we don't want it to become our campaign. There's something beautiful about it being the fans' campaign, but we also wanted to do something to back it. So £5 to come and sit in the Brian Moore stand this weekend. It's so far selling really well. So yeah, we're hoping for a bumper crowd and a good atmosphere to celebrate, you know, the unbeaten run that we've been on, and, you know, show our appreciation to the team.
The unbeaten run has been fantastic, and the atmosphere at games has been great as well. How much work is it, though, to open the town end? Because it is part of the stadium that doesn't get open very often. It's currently covered in hoardings for the sponsor of that stand. What have you had to do to make sure it's ready for Saturday?
Yeah, so we're opening the bottom of the stand. We've been in discussions, obviously, with the council. We've known exactly what needs to be done. We've had structural engineers out to look at it and do a report, and they've said, okay, well, actually, look, there's this bit of work, that bit of work. That work is all being completed today. It's just a few little touch ups that needed to be doing. So that work's been done. We'll be good to go for the weekend. So it's exciting, and it's nice to have all four sides open.
It must be nice for the players if they are going that way, because normally there's nothing there. So if they're shooting in that direction, it will be great for them to be able to see part of that stand packed out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and we've spoken about it a lot. We would love to have it open all the time. The problem is there has to be a demand for it. Like, there has to be people sort of willing to pay to sit there, and all the time we're not filling the other three sides of the ground, it's not worth us opening it. But we're hopeful as we go on, if we can continue to do well, the Medway people will continue to get behind us, the numbers will grow, and actually there might be a need for it more regularly. That's the hope, that's the plan. this weekend, it's very much about just trying to give people a bit of a taster, trying to make it affordable for people. Maybe there's people looking at it going, there's something interesting going on at Gillingham, and you know, hopefully they'll come get a taste for it, and yeah, we'll want to become a regular.
Well, look, Joe, anyone who wants to come along on Saturday, who perhaps, as you say, they haven't been back, they haven't been for a while, or maybe they haven't been before, they've got young kids, they want to come along, what do they need to do? Because as you say, you're trying to make it as affordable as you can for everyone this weekend.
Yeah, well, look, they need to go online. Tickets in the Brian Moore stand are £5. There are tickets available in the rest of the stadium as well. We are at the Brian Moore seats are selling really, really fast. So yeah, we've sold sort of at this point, as we're talking now, we've sold near on 600, which was the initial allocation we put on. We are trying to put on more seats as we go. But it's looking, based on the last 12 hours, that stand is going to sell out. That doesn't mean that people can't come, because obviously there's, I think the Rainy Men's pretty much sold out, but there's seats in Medway stand, there's seats in the Gordon Road stand. So yeah, we want to have a bit of a party, a feel good factor, try and G the boys on to carry on this run, and also celebrate the run that they've achieved, because it's 132 years of this football club, and you know, they're the only group that have gone 21 league games unbeaten, and we should acknowledge that and appreciate them for it. So that's what we plan to do on Saturday.
Staying with football, and London City Lionesses are in League Cup action tonight. The side, who train in Aylesford, are travelling to take on Crystal Palace in the group stage. It follows their first win in the WSL at the weekend. Kickoff is at 7:30. In cricket, Kent Zach Crawley has been named to the England squad for this winter's Ashes in Australia. He's expected to open the batting with Ben Duckett. Harry Brook has replaced Ollie Pope as vice-captain. The first test gets underway in Perth at the end of November. And a little bit more cricket for you. It's Kent's final game of the season today. They're taking on Derbyshire in Canterbury. It's been a disappointing campaign for Kent, who are bottom of Division 2. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, with no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.